Want me to drive questions? Is there...
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
I wasn't clear. Are you a publicly funded organization or are you privately?
No, we're a private company. We're entrepreneurial driven. We're a startup. And we utilize the technology R&D funding opportunities that the state of Maine has to advance the technology, but we're a private company.
What type of investment are you going to have to make to bring this technology to fruition? And what is the timeline?
Yeah. We have a pilot project that we're working on that is going to be regulated through the FERC pilot project license process, and we hope to have that in the water with our first one megawatt installation in 2010. The FERC process allows you to, within a 5-year time frame, install up to approximately 5 megawatts as a pilot project opportunity. And we feel in the Eastport area that the opportunity is actually in the vicinity of 100 megawatts. You know, it could be 80, it could be 120. It's going to be a 5 to 7 year build out in order to do that. But to get this thing started, we're going to be close to a $10 million project to get things in the water and operate power. And then after that, we'll do the project taking care of itself.
John, can you tell people what FERC is?
It's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. In the back, sir.
Thank you. First of all, I think a lot of us like the idea of renewable energy through clean whatever. But I wanted to know if you people, whether you're dealing with windmills or all the currents, whether you are looking at the electromagnetic fields that the wires, cables, or whatever they are, that are under the ground, what they could do to the marine resource in that area. There was some report about something over in Norway in one of the fields where it caused some of the fish to leave the area, and I just was hoping or would be hoping that anybody with wind power or wave power would be taking a look at that particular aspect to see what results it would have on the whatever's there on the bottom now. And I don't know if you've done it or if you haven't, if you could. And then the other question, and we're having this problem down in Massachusetts, is the exclusion zones. When they put the wave turbines in or whatever, the windmill thing, what will that do to have an exclusion zone where people who have fished there before can't go anymore? So we're facing that down our way. By the way, we love windmills, they're wonderful.
Yep.
But everybody down our way, they go, well, we don't want them next to us. But since nobody cares about out there in the ocean, but put them all out there somewhere where we can't see them, but it's a great idea. And of course, the fishermen are out there. So this is what we face up down in Massachusetts is out of sight. Get it out of my backyard, but put it out there because who cares what goes on?
I'll shut up. All right, thanks for the question. In terms of the magnetic field, we're going to be going organizing a series of environmental testing and environmental monitoring protocols that will take into account a host of issues that, I'm sure that's going to be but one of them. I mean, the others will have to do with fish passage, the acoustic fingerprint, if you will, among others. So that's all to come, but we'll have to assume because the pilot project license will require that type of consideration. The second question, in terms of the exclusion zones, I mean, there is going to be a footprint here, what we're doing as part of our community process is being as honest and open and as up to date with information as we possibly can with the local fishermen's association around what this all might look like. Now, in most circumstances, where you're going to put a tidal turbine isn't going to be where fishermen are going to want to fish because of the robustness of the tidal current and what that means for scouring in the area. So what we're working on in the fishermen in the Cubscook Bay region of the Eastport area, Cubscook Bay is west of Eastport, Western Passage is east of Eastport. The bulk of the fishing is in the Cubscook Bay area, and what we've got a dialogue around is where are the kind of go-no-go zones, if you will. Most of our project will be in Western Passage, a lesser amount will be in Cubscook Bay. So what we want the feedback from the fishermen around is what are their recommendations about where this project could begin to be deployed within their area.
Yeah, I think I heard you mention that one of the arrays would have a 350-foot footprint. How many of those 350-foot footprints would generate a megawatt of electricity?
That's the megawatt footprint in rough terms as we're looking at it now. And it'll depend on the style of mooring and anchoring system that we ultimately choose up there. Two things about the footprint. Everybody has an incentive to make it as small as possible. We have an incentive to make it as small as possible because hopefully that will translate in being able to use more of our permitted area to generate power from. The fishing community wants a smaller footprint because it represents less area that's been taken out of the public domain for fishing. So there's incentives to try to make this work as best we can.
I'm curious, what issues, if any, do you face when you bring the electricity to the land and to distribute into the grid?
We're at the end of the grid. The upside is this. Bangor Hydro has a substation that's very close to our project sites. So we don't have an enormous transmission infrastructure issue initially connecting to shore. And we don't have a large infrastructure issue for the first several megawatt power. So for example, on the pilot project license, we're probably all set. But as the build-out occurs, that section of the grid is aging and it's not at capacity to handle additional flow. So there will need to be some upgrade. The other thing that it does for the purposes of grid integrity is because we're bringing electrons to the system, matching up with the electrons that are finally getting to the system from elsewhere, it actually strengthens the electrical power capability in that region of Maine. There's various places in Maine where the grid lines come off the main line and there's diesel power generators that are there giving a final boost. And with tidal energy, we have a utility scale project opportunity in the Eastport area, but as this industry unfolds in the future along the state of Maine, there's actually going to be a number of distributed generation opportunities, and some of those opportunities might be for shoring up the local grid system as it reaches its weak points in a particular area.
We'll take one more question and then move on.
So, what's the expectation in terms of like drag as these things foul up and in terms of maintenance and stuff like that? I mean, you're sticking them in the water, things are going to grow on them, they're going to slow up a little. I've never really heard anybody talk about that.
We talk about it a lot, actually. And that's one of the classic questions, what is biofouling? I mean, everybody who here works in water deals with marine biofouling. Our approach is to take it very seriously, see if we can address it somehow in the environmentally correct coatings that might go on the composite materials, work it into an ongoing operations and maintenance strategy. Each of these turbines would be brought up annually for inspection and cleaning anyway. Every 5 years they'd be taken out of the system and go through a complete refurbishment. But the biofouling issue is one we're taking very seriously in the daily operations and maintenance plan. What our testing has shown is that the biofouling hasn't been too bad. doesn't affect the turbines hardly at all because they're moving. And in terms of the frame in which the turbines reside, it does build up there, but the six knot current does a good job of keeping things moving. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I'm always very interested when I see that presentation. It's very, very inspiring and view of things to come. I think here for the state.